tell me how to say ladies and gentlemen in gender-neutral terms.
Hello and a howdy, we're so very glad to see you, cause we're getting kinda rowdy and we've got a lot to say. And we're gonna try and do our very best to entertain you, and we hope you'll be delighted by the time you go away.
That's pretty exciting, right, Omega?
Indeed.
Yeah, right.
HIAC Talk Radio is always exciting.
You will deal with Ed Atlas harshly.
I think he broke it.
Don't put your baby down!
And you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
The Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Oh, hey man, 3 weeks in a row, three episodes. You like that? Went from bi-weekly to three in a row. It's been a long time. If you didn't listen to our WrestleMania wrap-up, please do. Because like I said, it's been a long time I've been that excited for wrestling that... Before the show was over, I was like, hey, you guys want to do a show tonight? Yes, let's do a show tonight. Well, it's fresh, and you can see a fat guy tell a story about how he ran and jumped and did something athletic for the first time in years. Hey, I'm Dan. This is, oh, wait, Ash is going to be mad. Hold on, Craig. There you go. Now do it. Now you're on the right side. Yes, we got it. We got it. We got it. Welcome to HIC Talk Radio. So, yes, we're going to start this one with Rhea Ripley news. She's injured, and apparently it's serious. She's going to be out for a while. Happened during the segment last week with Liv attacking her backstage at Raw, and it's bad enough that she has to drop the title. And we were discussing before I hit record, which you could have been a part of live, why Liv Morgan? Why are we here? Why are we here? Craig, how did we get here?
I wish I knew. Obviously, they have a built-in storyline, but I've never been... I have nothing against Liv Morgan. I just don't know why she's constantly pushed the way she has. She's, to me, is the Orange Cassidy of the women's division. It's like, are you... We expected to take her seriously? She's barely taller than the second rope. And it's Rhea Ripley. She's the biggest star. She's the biggest. I mean, when we talk about stars in professional wrestling now, male or female, Rhea is in the top five, without a doubt. And you're going to feed her Liv Morgan for her first feud after WrestleMania? Really? After all the time you spent pushing Bianca, Naomi, Raquel Rodriguez is the same size as Rhea. That's your... You can have a Stone Cold Rock thing with those two. Because Raquel at least looks like she can kick somebody's ass. But Liv, I will never get it. I didn't get it when we talked about it 2 years ago when they were trying to make her out to be the female Sabu and have her do hardcore stuff against Ronda Rousey. Like, are you kidding me? I didn't even buy her... going toe-to-toe with Ronda Rousey. Who could? I'm not knocking her. I'm sure she's a wonderful person, but I cannot take her seriously as a threat to any full-size woman. Certainly not to Rhea Ripley, the biggest star in the company, female division.
Do you still keep her in the title picture after this?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to have some type of tournament to crown a new she'll be in it. If they were smart, they would keep Liv out until Rhea gets back, you know, because that's the feud they were going to go with anyway. Unless you want to have, God help me, Liv win the title and then have Rhea back to give their feud some oomph, because that was the feud they were going to go forward with. Liv wasn't going to beat Rhea under any circumstances. But if you really want to sell the feud, have Liv win the tournament, piss me off further, and then when Rhea's back, have Rhea come back for the title.
I guess this episode is going to be women's wrestling heavy, because I got a couple things to talk about. I got a couple stuff to talk about, Craig. Yeah, a couple.
Yeah, cup.
Yeah, cup. Yeah, I don't understand that. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody be on a roll like that and just have it stop dead in their tracks and be that upset about it. Like, I was upset. God.
You know, the last time I was upset when someone was an incredible role and it just got yanked away from them and they never got it back, it's Finn Balor. And he won a Universal title. Yeah.
That one's tough because I understand your absolutely understand your point of view. On the other hand, we got the Judgment Day out of it, and I like him there.
I did too. We eventually got the Judgment Day out of it. It was 5 years later, but yeah.
Was it that long, dude?
Finn was the Universal Champion in 2018.
Christ.
Yeah, so it wasn't like he got it. He
too, yeah.
Had to give up the Universal title and then went got into the Judgment Day. No, it was a. And remember, he went back to NXT and then came back up. But he was on the biggest momentum. He was the first, people forget, he's the first ever Universal Champion. Beat Roman Reigns for it, pinned him. And then it was all gone because of Seth Franklin Rollins. But that was the last person that was, but unlike Finn, because of all the incredible momentum he had and then being injured and having to give up the title, he never got back to that status again. Rhea will be right back there as soon as she's healthy.
I don't want to see anything, but comes back, destroys, title in hand. That's what you do with Rhea, in my opinion. You don't wait when she comes back. If you're writing her off TV like this, that's what you got to do, in my opinion. But I'm not Booker. And believe it or not, Craig, I will say this. I have a little more faith being who is running the show now versus who used to be that might happen considering that's his girl. In that way, you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. 80, you know. I boy. that one's tough. I thought we were gonna open with this, but yeah, the Rhea Ripley stuff. I just saw the segment of her leaving the arena, and that was actually very touching, considering they're bad. They're the heels.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 380 days. She's out that long?
Or is that how long she's been champion?
Oh, maybe that's... Oh, thank God. I was going to say.
Yeah, that's more than a year. She said a couple of months. And again, we still don't know what the injury is. I'm guessing if it's months, then it's something was torn.
Her right arm was in a sling.
Yeah, I saw it.
Up at her chest, so I can't... Not maybe rotator cuff, maybe a torn bicep, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
I will check.
It's separated shoulder or some type of readjustment.
That's a bummer. Like I said, what I thought we were going to open with was this. And then I realized how nervous I was going to be bringing this up with you. But then I was like, no, he'll understand my angle. And considering this has just started, Jade Cargill.
Yes.
She is on TV.
Mm-hmm.
She is doing squash matches.
Yes.
And apparently this has never happened before in the history of wrestling. Yes. The majority rational folks are like, cool. Another match in, move on to the next segment. Cool. Another match. Moving on. A lot of people are complaining because, Chelsea Green was thrown into the wolves. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Goldberg or Craig, you're the historian. How many people have been brought into a company have just run roughshod over everybody, heel or face?
Oh, geez. The list just so short. I mean, Brock Lesnar, the Giant, Abdul the Butcher, the Sheik, Bruiser Brody,
Bam Bam Bigelow.
I mean, guys that, guys that are brought into a territory to challenge the world heavyweight champion or even the local heavyweight champion are brought in to squash underlings. Every single person that Bruno Sammartino wrestled, all of his opponents squashed every single person on TV. Until they got to Bruno. That's how it's done. That's how it's always been done. Now that there's network TV and there's no such thing as there's no more Saturday afternoon wrestling to get over challenger to the world title. Everything's done on TV now, and with the Jade Cargill. And granted, Goldberg set the tone for squashes and in a spectacular fashion. And because of the look and the charisma, it was undeniable that you would feed Goldberg and make it something special, kind of like what they're doing with Bron Breakker now. But it's been done.
And exactly. People were saying that. Yeah. What about Bron Breakker? Why is it a problem with her, not Bron Breakker? I think I know why.
Yeah. And you have to understand the background of Jade Cargill. She was in AEW for 2 years, squashing people, but in the same time, getting no formal training. Not to knock anyone in AEW who did train her, but she was obviously spoon-fed a lot of experienced enhancement women wrestlers that could talk her through it. But considering they signed Jade Cargill almost a year ago and she's just now wrestling, shows you that when she got to the WWE and the Performance Center, they had to pretty much deprogram her from the AEW way and teach her the right way. And as you can tell from a lot of the wrestlers in AEW that aren't trained the right way, hence the number of injuries they have and hence the number of terrible matches that they have, because they aren't, they haven't been taught in a significant way the do's and don'ts of professional wrestling. And the fact that Jade Cargill has been in the Performance Center for the last 6 months, day in and day out, and she's still not where they want her to be. The best way to get her that experience is squash matches, keeping her, let her do what she can do, cover up what she can't. So by the time she is ready to have one-on-one matches, because they've been hiding her in tag teams, mixed tag teams, and bring her along the right way. And who knows, a year from now, she may be in a singles WrestleMania match. But baby steps, folks. It's been done before, and this is exactly how you do it. But even in the squash matches that she's having now, she's better than she ever was in AEW. As the AEW, was she the TBS champion, the TNT champion?
Who knows?
Whatever she.
I don't. I think she was the TBS champion.
Yeah, okay. But she's better now than in the WWE than she ever was in AEW. No, but who's complaining about who was complaining about Jade Cargill having squash matches?
White dudes with beards.
Okay. Oh, neckbeard. The neckbeard mafia. Okay.
Yeah, I would send you the screenshot. I would send you the links, but most of them shut up when people have been brought a list of assholes, especially two of them that happened either currently or within the last 3 years, that maybe they should shut the fuck up. I have read three articles. I've read through three articles while you were talking. I was listening. What'd you say? No, about Rhea Ripley. And all they say is injury. The injury has not been disclosed.
Okay, that's weird.
So I don't understand what's going on. Is this a work?
They're going through an awful lot of lengths. And again, if
it just says Shoulder injury. There's nothing else indicating what's going on.
No. And if it's a work, again, why would it be over a few over Liv Morgan? That's what I don't.
The only thing I thought of right now when you asked that question is this to make Liv Morgan look more badass and then to eventually lose the title to Rhea and then hold the title longer? I think it's real. I'm just like, I couldn't think of what else it could be.
Yeah, I think it's real too. I don't know why they can't disclose it. It's not the first injury that a WWE star has ever had.
That's really weird. I don't know. Yeah. I can't find information anywhere.
Yeah, and just that she'd be out for months, not weeks, that she has to vacate the title. So obviously, it's something. I don't know. Hopefully, we'll hear something.
Roman, I was kind of hoping she'd get the Roman treatment. Just hold on to that. Keep that baby warm until such time. And
yeah, I would. Yeah, I'd keep it.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, it is frustrating. Yeah, but definitely, I wouldn't have her give up the belt. I would just have her hold on to it. Because honestly, without her having the belt, there's really nothing that's worth watching. On the women's side, at least not on Raw, anyway.
Well, I mean, still have Bayley.
Yeah, on SmackDown,
they can bring anybody up from NXT to fill a slot. I'm not too worried about it.
And Tiffany's getting a lot.
I
don't understand. I don't understand the secrecy. Tiffany's getting a lot of heat, and she's doing really well. Tiffany Stratton. It is Tiff time.
It's Tiff time. Yeah, no, that's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
A good surprise came out of nowhere. After all we talked about last week, I think we're going to run through all this stuff pretty quickly, Craig. I don't know what else to. These are pretty cut and dry, my friend.
Well, last week we were talking about we hadn't got to the footage.
That was my point. I was going to bring that up next. Exactly.
Okay. Yep. Go right ahead.
No, you the boss, but I'm going to let you have the segue since I stole one last week. You can have this one.
Okay. The film clip heard around the world of He Who Shall Not Be Named aired on AEW last Wednesday after the news was released at 1 a.m. on a weekend after WrestleMania, that they're going to show the raw footage from the security cam 8 months ago in London at Wembley Stadium for All In about the backstage attack that happened to Jack Perry. And you realize, and I'm going through the AEW playbook to talk about the footage from All In and what happened to Jack Perry without talking about who did what to Jack Perry and the other person involved with Jack Perry. Because we want you all to see it, but without telling you what exactly happened. And for those of you who don't live on the internet and have no idea what the hell they were talking about, watching last week's AEW certainly didn't help because I'm not mentioning the other person there. And this other person who's currently one of the big stars on the biggest wrestling company in the United States, if not the world, and now he's the main story on two different shows. And by not talking about it, you're making that person an even bigger deal. And the fact that this was all in response to that person going on a podcast to talk about the attack again that happened 8 months ago, and what he said happened like word for word and shot for shot. So the guy from the other company who you can't talk about choked out one of your stars on AEW, and the point of showing that footage was to what? You got a bump in the ratings. You got back over 800,000 for a week. You can't. Are you going to show the clip every week now? And the guy that got choked out, Jungle Jack Perry, doesn't even work for AEW. It's not like he's there every week. And you couldn't even throw it to him saying, okay, well, this is what really happened. You have no follow-up. And again, it was 8 months ago. But you want to bring it up now. And the people involved, the person involved, the person that you want to skewer for all this, you can't even mention his name. And the AEW faithful, the people that only people that watch AEW or AEW fans, most of them have no idea what the hell this is. Because this is how AEW treats their fans. But there it was, 1 minute and 48 seconds worth of footage of a fight that wasn't a fight. And Dan, you've been in, you're a commissioner of a wrestling promotion. You've been in locker rooms. I've been backstage at the ECW arena. I've been in the stands in the ECW arena where there were actual fights, way worse fights than what happened there. In that 1 minute and 48 seconds worth of skirmish. But apparently that was enough for President Tony Khan to fear his life. That little dust up.
There's a couple points I want to make. Number one and number two. Okay. Yes, I was Commissioner Kayfabe, but in real life, I was just like a manager for the day. And I don't mean an on-screen manager. I was somebody needed something from the Wawa across the street. I was a gopher. No, I was more than that. I was the director backstage during the show. Who needed to be where, when it was a cue, assisting the filming and being the director on that, hitting certain cues for entrances, a la hitting the lights when Luis the Punisher Martinez went out. I did a lot of things, I was a utility man, and I'm proud of that. Also did commentary, which immediately was lost magically. Dean and I did commentary. There's one clip of it. I think it's pretty good. I've done a lot in wrestling off screen, which is probably honestly where I was better. But during that time, and there was a bit of this public discussion between Dean and I about this incident. There was a very real back and forth between New Moon and
Super Crazy,
the Monster Factory at the time.
Okay, sorry.
Oh, and ECWA, but that's because they had a piece of shit working for him, you know, and they chose him over us. So that's neither here nor there. That's not my problem. But it came down to a message being sent to those who would not shut up, mainly HIAC and New Moon, when one of the guys were sent there with a gun during a training night. That's more scary than the shove heard around the world. I mean, maybe Jack was terrified because he's like, he's smaller than me. I don't see it. And I know on a technicality and a legality, yes, it's not technically assault. I get it. And Jack Perry had every right to call the authorities and be like, yo, this guy assaulted me, which I would have done if I was Jack Perry in Jack Perry's position, right or wrong. I would have. Just to fuck with him at that point. You put your hands on me, now the bobbies are going to be knocking on your door. This is in England, remember, you folks. Yeah. Another, but I'm trying to replay the footage in my head, go over the things that were making me chuckle. Chris Hero.
Yeah.
Putting his head in his hand. If that doesn't say it all. What I'm trying to say is a guy coming to your house and threatening you with a gun, a little more intimidating than a shove and a choke.
Yeah.
Retrospectively. That got me back on track. Jack Perry did say to his face, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to try to choke the shit out of you is what I'm going to do about it. Apparently.
And I want to respond to the people that say that Punk sucker punched him and everything.
No.
I want to say because of what Jack Perry has, and this is from CM Punk's dealings with him, when how it all started in the first place when Jack Perry was on Collision. And he wanted to break up a rental car using real glass. And one of the production assistants told him no. The doctor told him no. Tony Schiavone. And Jack Perry cursed them all out. And then to hear Bubba Ray Dudley say he only met Jack Perry once and he believed every single word that Punk said, because he went up to Jack Perry to introduce himself and shake his hand, and Jack Perry blew him off like he was a rookie. So what Jack Perry has never dealt with is accountability. So what you saw on the footage, he and Punk were talking. Jack Perry's used to cursing people out and then walking away and talking real tough and nothing happening to him. So when he said something to Punk or talked tough to Punk and said, what do you want to do about it? Punk did something about it. And guess what? He wasn't ready. A sucker punch is when you're not looking or someone punches you from behind. Someone that close to you and say, what are you going to do about it? And then you do something about it. That's not a sucker punch. That was Jack Perry being held accountable for his words. That's never happened to him before. He's never been in a real fight before because he's an entitled prick. He would have been an entitled prick even if he wasn't the son of Luke Perry, because of his demeanor. Maybe because he's the son of Luke Perry, he's never had to deal with anything real like a fight or someone telling him no or saying, hey, dipshit, you can't break a rental car because it's a rental car, and do that shit somewhere else or do it when it means something. But you're going to badmouth the biggest star in the company and say, you got a problem with me, we'll do something about it. And then that person does something about it and you're shocked by that. That's what I saw. When Punk put his hands on him, Jack Perry wasn't ready because Jack Perry wasn't used to anyone calling him on his shit. He's used to telling people off and him getting away with it.
All I hear, hello, sorry for bothering. Oh, no, that's spam.
No, thank you. Happy earring. No, thank you.
No, thank you. No, but you can be blocked. Goodbye. I'll see you later. Thanks for the offer, but no. I'll either be organic or be a nobody, and I'm happy being a nobody, but organic, orgasmic. And a shout out to Justin America. I never agreed to pay the Applebee's tab because they tried to kill me that one time. That's not happening. They should pay me. So everything you said, 100% agree. I don't have a counterpoint to any of it. And who am I to argue with Bully Ray? He had to sit with Devon to drive backwards on the New Jersey Turnpike. Who am I to argue with Bully Ray? Are we calling him Bubba or Bully now? What are we calling him? Okay. What's his real name, Fred?
Mark LaMonica.
Oh, okay. We'll go with Bully.
Or Bubba, yeah. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yes. So no, it wasn't a sucker punch, not by a mile. If you're gonna tell somebody, pull up, be prepared. Most people that say pull up usually be prepared after that, Joe. And he looked away for a split second, and that's his problem. That's not a sucker punch, because CM Punk told him face to face. But and yeah, and let's double down on that. The story, the interview was pretty much almost 99%, 100% exactly what was shown on that footage.
Exactly. And but I still don't understand AEW's well, I know why they wanted to respond to what Punk said on the Ariel Mawani show. But why you take that? I understand you want to if you want to respond to what he said on Ariel's show, we're gonna show the footage. All you're doing is showing the footage of one of your stars getting his ass kicked. How does that help your company? You're showing, and by not mentioning his name, that's supposed to get you an audience. And after when they went back to live action, you had the crowd chanting CM Punk.
It was supposed to forward that feud between them and FTR. And to me, it was the equivalent of look at Tony Schiavone's face. It was the equivalent of that'll put some butts in the seats.
That was 2000s Tony Schiavone. That was during the dying days of WCW Tony Schiavone. Because he could see the band playing as the Titanic sunk.
Now, let me be contrarian. Do I think this is going to kill AEW? No, because for better or for worse, as long as Tony Khan and his dad, and I'm only saying it that way because I don't know his father's name or don't remember, bankroll AEW, they'll be there. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not worried about. But it furthers my belief of what I've been saying for months is, dude, get off TV, put the microphone down, and just bankroll it. There's no shame in that. That's why I wasn't involved for a lot, because not happening on a much smaller, bullshittier scale. You have Turner. What is it? Warner Media. Now I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's Warner Media. Rooster Teeth makes had more viewers than that. I'm just saying. Yeah. Just bankroll it and get somebody else there to be the mouthpiece. You're not Bischoff. You're not Vince. You're not Triple H. You're not even Vince Russo.
And I think you're not even Don Abraham.
I was going to say Scott D'Amore, but I really like Scott.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with all that. I mean, when Bischoff is sitting there going, brother, I don't watch Bischoff's show.
Me neither.
But I was curious to say, because people are like, why does Bischoff think he has room to say anything? His company closed. Yeah, but they beat them for, what was it, 2.5 years?
83 weeks. Yes, the name of his podcast. Yeah.
Hey, it's the name of his goddamn podcast. That's why he could say something, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's been there. You can talk about, it's Eric Bischoff and now can be seen as, oh, well, he's a failure. He failed after he succeeded. That's the thing. It's like making fun of a one-time Stanley Cup champion. Well, they were there. And even if they suck now, they were there. Like he's the Montreal Canadiens of wrestling. At least he had a glory time, a glory period.
Wow, that analogy made me so happy. You went with a hockey analogy, and I was like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah but it's true.
Yeah, you nailed it. They were good for a long time, and they haven't been good for a while.
Exactly. But at least they, so if someone from the Montreal Canadiens is going to tell, is going to give you advice about something, about
you won't take it.
How to, yes. Because he's been there. Yeah, it was a long time ago, but you know what? He's been there.
You have not.
Yes.
You can't even meet him on YouTube views.
Yeah. But it's not going to happen with Tony. The same reason why he's never hired a booker. Same reason why others of his ilk, like his wrestlers, don't listen to the people that have been there before him and don't listen to the veterans and empty-headed dipshits like Adam Page brush off the guys that have actually been there and actually drew money and think, oh, we don't need to take any advice from them. Coming right out and saying that, that's the mindset that Tony has. So he's not going to get a mouthpiece. He's not going to hire a booker. He's not going, as long as he's got people in his ear telling him, hey, Tony, you know what we should do? We should show the footage from Wembley that took place 8 months ago because Punk said this about us. So we'll show the footage and we'll somehow make that about the Young Bucks and the FTR, even though neither one of them were there. They weren't in the clip. They weren't anywhere around that scrum. So how is this about them? And even if you spin it, oh, the Bucks, oh, we were so distracted by that, that's why we lost to FTR. I don't know why FTR didn't say that's bullshit. We would have beaten you guys anyway because we're the best tag team on earth. Even though we're booked like shit, we're going to win the tag team title. They never mentioned the tag team championship at all. And for them, for the Bucks to use the footage as some flimsy excuse to sell themselves, again, they weren't in the clip. So what does that have to do with the Bucks or FTR? That's how bad the booking is in AEW. You're trying to connect something, trying to connect the dots with something. Like Elvis
we
died.
We can't even connect the dots for a conversation.
I think one of my friends was really high. He said one time, Elvis died so Tupac can live. I'm like, what? But he said, think about it, man. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it. What the fuck?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, but that's how
I think it doesn't make any goddamn sense, sir.
Yeah, that makes as much sense as showing the footage of Jack Perry getting his ass kicked by CM Punk and somehow that relates to the Young Bucks versus FTR.
That wasn't Rockstar Rob, was it?
No. No.
Oh, thank God.
Like, I mean, he's not that high, but no, that was one of my, that was before Rob, but that analogy always it always comes back whenever people try to connect dots and aren't connecting. I go back to that Elvis died so Tupac can live. Like, no. Well, now they're both dead. So
no, I don't think so. Yeah, they're both dead, so it doesn't really matter. Craig, do you have anything to gift us for the historian tonight?
I do, actually, Dan. And a fairly significant thing happened this week in pro wrestling history. And it's along the lines of what we've been talking about. Cross-promotional feuds. Now, one would say that there isn't a feud between AEW and WWE, even though the top star in WWE has been part of AEW for the last 2 weeks.
I mean, technically.
But something else happened significant in wrestling history that involved not one, not two companies warring, but actually three companies warring in a single night. That happened, hard to believe, Dan, 24 years ago. April 13th, 2000. And of all places, Indianapolis. The Mike Awesome, who was the current ECW champion, who had just signed to wrestle for WCW, was defeated by WWF wrestler Taz for the ECW Heavyweight Championship. So a WWF wrestler wrestled a WCW wrestler for the ECW belt.
And all Mike Awesome had to do was hold up his end of the bargain for three easy, measly requests by Paul Heyman, and he couldn't do one of them.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Good job. Another landmark decision occurred outside of the ring, actually, but it's got ramifications, long-term effects. April 13th, 1994, Dan, 30 years ago, this week in pro wrestling history, Jesse Ventura, who was working for WCW at the time as a commentator, on April 13th, 1994, 30 years ago, Jesse Ventura was awarded the hefty sum of $809,958 in royalties. Yep. In merchandising royalties for the use of his likeness in 90 videos and 90 Coliseum home videos from the WWF. And he also got another $8,625 in merchandising royalties for the use of his likeness in these 90 Coliseum home videos. He was awarded those in a lengthy court battle that Jesse filed while he was in WWF, and after he left WCW, he got his award. He awarded that $800,000, but because Jesse never signed a contract indemnifying the WWF from paying him for his commentary work, so as a result, all of his commentary on those 90 videos, including the very first WrestleMania, have been edited out. But
to this day, still
to this day, still you go to the cock and listen to the commentary. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
But it was the latest in the a battle that Jesse Ventura had waged with WWF from the time he was there, for the time even after he left. For those of you who don't know, when Jesse was in the WWF, when he could no longer wrestle, and they put him on commentary, which turned out to be a stroke of genius. He and Gorilla made a great team, and Jesse Ventura kind of pioneered the heel announcer and did it better than anyone. Bobby kind of took up the baton that Jesse handed off to him, and he and Gorilla made magic, but Jesse was a brilliant heel commentator, but he also wanted to do movies. And his problem with the WWF goes back to the first WrestleMania. It was Jesse Ventura who wanted to unionize, wanted the wrestlers to form a union. He was always civic-minded. Even when he was on the road, he'd ask wrestlers if they voted, if they had to wrestle on election day. But he wanted the wrestlers to form a union. Go ahead.
Hey, Craig, who ratted out that union formation? Who was that?
Oh, it's funny you mentioned that, Dan, because after Jesse went to all the wrestlers, and one of the vocal ones was Sergeant Slaughter, because they said Vince had mortgaged everything, even his house, to do WrestleMania. So mm-hmm. Jesse told the wrestlers, everyone, we're never going to have more leverage than we are right now. If we can form a union right now and WrestleMania takes off like we know it will, then we'll all be set. And everyone, we got it, brother. And it was Hulk Hogan who stooged to Vince that squashed the union and created the liabilities that wrestlers still, especially during the 80s when travel was insane and injuries and drug use were rampant. And since there was no health insurance and no benefits, more wrestlers from that era died prematurely than in any era since then. But that was the opening salvo. When Jesse got the part in Predator, he was let go by Vince and only brought back if Jesse agreed to promote it on Superstars, which he did. Jesse's wanting to branch out or wanting to do what's not just best for him, but for the boys, was always met with resistance from the WWF to the point where when he saw after the first WrestleMania how much Hogan got and Mr. T got and Cyndi Lauper got, which was more than him, that's when he had a problem. And that's when he looked into his royalties. Yeah, the $800,958. Not chump change, certainly, but it's the fact that he wasn't paid for his royalties and he got something out of it that went a long way in wrestlers maintaining their likeness rights and their voices for all future WWF projects. So Jesse may have been edited out of all the early Coliseum videos, but the videotape DVD tape market before it eventually died out still was something that wrestlers could depend on as far as earning a living just from the royalties from that alone. And that was made possible by Jesse Ventura.
So just to backtrack a second, when people go, oh, you just hate Hulk Hogan because of this. You hate Hulk. My loathing of Hulk Hogan was well into my preteen days, from reading magazines and other news sources of professional wrestling. Because how would you know about a union at that age? Grew up around the fire department. I know.
Yeah.
Okay. My hatred for Hulk Hogan goes way beyond social issues. He's an asshole. Jesse, even recently with his conspiracy theory show, worlds away from Terry Bolder.
Yeah.
Terry Bollea. You, Terry.
Kevin Nash said something really about Hogan. He said when they met in WCW, and he said it very succinctly. He said, Hogan, nicest guy in the world. Really, if anyone wanted a picture with him, even if the janitor's kid wanted a picture with Hogan, if you were backstage at a show, he'd do it no problem. But as long as he made a dollar, he wouldn't care that you made a dime. That's it. And I remember Dynamite Kid saying that same thing once. Back when they were the tag team champions and Hogan was the world champion, and their payoffs were a lot different. And even when the British Bulldogs were in the main event on the card of a sold out show, it was back in the 80s where they were running three shows a day in three different parts of the country, all sellouts. But Hogan's cut would be. They were the tag team champions, but Hogan was making more than both of the Bulldogs combined. And so why don't you talk to somebody about getting a... And Hogan's like, nah, that's all right. I like what I'm getting. So again, he wouldn't... Nicest guy in the world, that's one thing. And he was the champion of the Make-A-Wish. And I could say... And despite what we do on this podcast, I can say a lot of positive things about Hulk Hogan. I can say just as many negative things about Hogan. And again, like you said, Dan, it's nothing to do with social issues. As long as he made a dollar, he wouldn't care if you made a dime. He was never about the boys. He was never about making sure the boys were taken care of. He was never about seeing the forget equal pay. He was never concerned about, the only thing he was concerned about was Hulk Hogan. Even in the WCW days, when Alex Wright, of all people, was getting more heat than him, and he wanted him off a show when Alex was doing his Berlin character. Now,
are you?
You didn't know about that? When Alex Wright first turned into Berlin. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of the show, he refused.
Give me more reasons to hate him, by the way.
But at the beginning of the show, Hogan would get there and he'd hear all this booing. It's like nobody knows we're here yet. Where's all this booing come from? Go ask Alex Wright. So then Alex Wright stopped opening the shows. So, yeah, but that was a Hogan thing.
I was such a fan. Who didn't like Alex Wright, first of all? Right?
Yeah.
But second of all, mm-hmm. have you ever seen somebody reinvent themselves beyond recognition?
Yeah.
Like that, where you have to go, is that? And the only reason why it gave it away is because Tony, because God forbid WCW doesn't work correctly. Mm-hmm. Is that Alex Wright? Yeah. I'm like, oh, it is. You didn't have to say that. We don't need to know it's the dancing guy. Just came out, didn't speak a word of English, and just had his translator do it and had this big guy stand behind him. And with a different hue on the camera. And was booed out of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even wrestle one match.
Yeah.
Hogan, man.
Yeah. You could have made some money off of him. And I part of me thought and said, man, I wish he'd go to ECW. Take that gimmick to ECW, because I know Paul could get a lot of money out of that. But no, and next thing you know, he was Alex Wright and he was forgotten about, and he was a toady, and he was trying to join the NWO, and yeah, we are Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy. Yeah, we are cool. Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, here's Alex Wright.
Yeah, but that
he was 24 when he changed that gimmick.
Yeah, again, he's young, good looking, can work, and his character's getting over, but no, Hogan didn't like him opening the show.
Damn it.
Yeah.
They even had their Mercedes. That's awesome. God damn it.
Yeah, you could have made some bucks off of that.
Oh,
and it's
God.
Not
and
like
the only other connection to the wall of with Hogan is having the wall stand about 4 football fields away at the top of a building during spring breakout in 2000. And Hogan having to deliver the terrible line, that's the wall, brother, brother. Because nobody knew why he was out there and who it was. I hate you, Terry. I hate you so much.
The thing is about the Berlin, and this is the last thing I'm going to say about the Berlin character. And why it wasn't like, I mean, this during the height of the NWO, there was still so much going on in the undercard that got over that it wouldn't have hurt them at all. So the freaking Dean Malenko Chris Jericho feud was during the NWO period. And Jericho's still the loudest pop he's ever gotten. It's still one of my favorite moments in WCW history. The Eddie Rey Mysterio Halloween Havoc match was during the NWO period. All the cruiserweight stuff was during the NWO. There is so much business to be had. You could have had Alex Wright do any number of things, wrestle any number of guys that wouldn't have gotten anywhere near the NWO and had a good run. Like I said, the period was so hot that you didn't have to, if I can borrow a Ghostbuster reference, we didn't have to cross the streams. During the NWO period, you had your cruiserweight feuds, you had your Raven's Flock, you had all this other stuff going on. The tag team championship, the Harlem Heat won 5 tag team titles without ever having anything to do with the NWO. So if you can do all that, you could have made room for Berlin, for a 24-year-old Berlin. That was money you left on that. One of the many, many amount of dollars that WCW left on the table. But Berlin is still one of the ones that they just dropped the ball on. But yeah, that was a Hogan call.
Back to you, Craig.
That was it. There were a couple things that happened today in wrestling history. One of them was April 15th, if you're scoring at home. April 15th, 29 years ago today, was ECW's second annual Hostile City Showdown. This was the people will probably remember it for when Tommy Dreamer and Raven got into it, and Tommy Dreamer pile drove Beulah. But I will always remember Well, and there was a when Sandman defeated Shane Douglas for the ECW title, and then Shane put on a Raw shirt, signaling his departure. But I will always remember today in wrestling history, 29 years ago, for the Dean Malenko Eddie Guerrero 30-minute draw that happened that solidified their feud. When I talk about great feuds, my favorite feuds in wrestling history, Eddie and Dean are always in my top five just because of the matches they had. And like with WCW, ECW was doing Raven and Tommy Dreamer. They were doing Sandman stuff, Taz and Sabu, hardcore tables, fire, crucifixions. But you can still have an Eddie and Dean match in there, and the fans would go just as apeshit. That's what I'm saying. When you have a successful company and you know how to book, you can keep your stuff on top and your mid-cards or your just as good. Eddie and Dean never used one table, barbed wire, chair, nothing. And they had the greatest matches that people are still talking about almost 30 years later. So that's why you can have a Berlin in WCW and not touch the NWO. You can have an Eddie and Dean and still have Tommy Dreamer pile drive Beulah with her skirt over her face. And that, gentlemen and ladies, is a wrestling historian.
I'm still sitting, shaking my head, sitting here looking at pictures of Berlin, going, God damn you. God damn you, Hulk. At least he got out at a young age, though, man. Yeah. As far as the physicality part of it. Mm-hmm. Uta Ludendorff. That was her name. I remember Bobby having a thing for her. And you will like it. you know, that reminds me. I have a Google Drive access to unreleased WCW stuff, and it has that Millennium show on it. And I have the Gerben poster that Daphne signed, and Berlin's right above the ring light. So I see Berlin all the time. It's like, hey, there he is. Craig,
sure.
I've had enough sitting in this chair. Where can people follow you, man?
Oh, they can follow me, babe, at Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, Threads, at Craig Ligon, CRAIGLIGGEONS.
And Hot Pants, you can follow me at all social media platforms, DanLaw83, Grindr 2. No, what? I'm going to change my outro now. I've seen this movie 7 times, but for Craig Ligons and for the above average comedian, I do want you to keep it on the paper, but from now on, I'll see you in the fabric of the universe.